My message today is Save Thyself and Come Down from the Cross. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Heavenly Father, we pray for your divine illumination on this precious Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, at the end of my program, I will give you my website address. There you can listen to this message again, or you can listen to other messages the Lord has given me in the past. So have your paper and pencil ready so that at the end of this program, you can write down my website address. You can also give this address to your friends anywhere in the world, and they can listen to my radio program any time of the day, anywhere in the world. So have paper and pencil ready. Now, let us go into the 15th chapter of Mark again. As you well know, I have been in this gospel now for almost 2 years, and we are close to the end of it. Today, we come to a very climactic event, and that is the crucifixion of Jesus. Let me read the story to you from Mark 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed, and they did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place called Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of this accusation was written over, The King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, And he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Now, dear one, as I said a moment ago, I want to focus on these words, save thyself. But before I shall turn on that subject, I want to say a few words about the horrors of the crucifixion. Crucifixion became a common method of execution about 300 years before Jesus was born. It was primarily used for criminals and rebels. There were different kinds of crosses that were used. There was a diagonal cross where you just took two beams and you crossed them diagonally. Then you have the traditional Christian cross where you have a cross beam a little bit from the top of the beam down. Then you have the most common of all crosses, and that is the kind of cross that Jesus was crucified upon, where the cross beam was laid across the top of the vertical beam. Then it was the common practice for the Romans that after the criminal had been flogged, he would have to carry the cross beam to the side of the crucifixion. It was not uncommon that a prisoner or the criminal would die as a result of the severe flogging before he could even carry the crossbar. At the feet of the vertical beam was a little step upon which the criminal could rest his feet to a certain measure. Now, the whole idea of the crucifixion was to prolong the suffering, the agony, as long as possible. The Romans did not want a sudden death because death meant deliverance. Then after the prisoner was deprived of his clothing except for a loincloth, he was either tied or nailed to his cross and exposed to the elements, whether it be rain or snow or cold or heat, until he would die. In most cases, it would take several days, sometimes into the second week, before a prisoner would finally come to his end. Jesus was on the cross for 6 hours. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, our text says that there were certain people that passed by and railed him, wagging their heads, saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." These people who were passing by were not the same whose cry crucified him, but as our text says, they were passing by. They heard about Jesus, the whole country knew about Jesus, and now they saw him hanging on the cross. And so this was their message to Jesus, "Save thyself and come down from the cross." Of course, this was further adding to the agony of Jesus as these arrows of hate and ridicule were hurled at him. Now, my friend, I get to the meat of this message. Everyone who's not a true disciple of Jesus will suggest to you, if you are a true Christian, that you come off your cross and that you save yourself. Now, this suggestion may come from the world, or it may come from lukewarm Christians. It may come from a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, a son, or daughter. Save yourself. In fact, it is a cry of nature for you to save yourself. Charles Darwin was certainly wrong with evolution, but he was right when he said that there is such a thing as a survival of the fittest in nature. The strongest, the most cunning, the most deceitful creatures in nature will survive. So the message is not only coming to us from those people at the foot of the cross, "Save thyself," but it is also, my friend, coming from nature itself. Nature retracts from death and from suffering. It runs from it. So this thing about saving ourselves would be all right if we were nothing but matter that has evolved somehow way back there out of some little bugs that came out of some swamp. But the fact is that man was created in the image of God, and that he has a living soul. And in that living soul by which God created the first man and woman, there was nothing in it that said, "Save thyself." There was nothing in that first man or woman that said, "Me first." But what they had within themselves was a principle of God first. Let God be everything. Adam and Eve were God-centered, created to be God-centered. They did not live to exalt themselves, but they lived to love God, to serve God, to obey God, to fall down and worship Him. But when sin came into man, my friend, then the divine image was lost, and man became selfish as any creature on the face of the earth, struggling for survival, trying to save himself and save himself as long as possible. And of course, our children are taught in school to make something out of themselves, to get to the top of the ladder, to become somebody their parents can be proud of. That's only natural, my friends. It's not supernatural. In the natural, it is only getting to the top that counts. But in the supernatural, in the kingdom of God, it is getting to the bottom that counts. This is why John the Baptist said concerning Jesus, "He must increase and I must decrease." To put it more plainly, he must become everything and I must become nothing, so he can be all and in all. And Jesus said this in one of his teachings, and these words, "He that saveth his life shall lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Save yourself. No! Had Jesus tried to save himself, had he come off the cross, my friend, he would have been just like all the other people. He would have died a natural death and rotted away, and he would never have risen from the dead. No, absolutely not. He would not save himself. He would not be like them, selfish, egocentric, like an animal. Jesus knew if he would give up his life on the cross, then he would experience the resurrection of power, the power of God, and he would come back into fellowship with God at the throne of glory, and he would save us in the process, at least those who come to him. And this is what Jesus meant when he said, except a man deny himself and take up his cross, he cannot be my disciple. We also must be willing to give our self-life, our save-thyself life, so that we shall also experience a spiritual resurrection and then a physical resurrection to be in the presence of God's splendor and of God's majesty forever and ever. Oh, my friends, the short-sightedness, the blindness of the sinner, save thyself. Come down from the cross. He saved others, himself he cannot save. It sounds like when Jesus was hanging on the cross, they made Jesus a philanthropist. Yes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. They said, well, yes, he's done a lot of good. He's healed the sick, he's raised the dead, he's cast out devils, he's comforted the discouraged, he's fed the multitudes, he was a good philanthropist. He did a lot of good. Now he ought to do something for himself. Do yourself a good one. In other words, this is a message that they sent Jesus. I'll never forget an advertisement I heard some 30 years ago. It was directed to retirees, and it said something like this. You worked hard to raise your children. You worked hard to put them through college. Now do yourself a good one. You deserve to get yourself a Cadillac and enjoy life. I say, fui. I want you to know this is a save yourself message. And I want you to know, my friend, just as Jesus has a divine plan for you for the first 20 years of your life, he has one for the last 20 years of your life. And that is you die. You give up your life. You take up the cross and live for Jesus and not for yourself. Don't do yourself a good one. Do God a good one. His message is always take up the cross. Get into my divine plan and worship and serve and honor and glorify your Creator. So, dear ones, the cross is not our enemy. The cross is our greatest friend. And as we stay on it, we will remain in fellowship with Jesus now and forever. So don't shun the cross. Embrace it, and heaven will wait for you. Now, are you ready for my new website address? My new website is joyfulabiding.com. Again, it is www.joyfulabiding.com. On my website, you will also find this radio program, and you may listen to this radio program at any time, which is a wonderful convenience. My monthly call to obedience letters covering various topics are also online. If you do not receive my monthly newsletter, you may subscribe online. Also, you may shop online at my bookstore, where my books can be purchased. My autobiography, entitled I Am Love, a 366-day devotional entitled Abiding in Christ, and commentaries on the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments are books that will feed and challenge your soul. Again, please remember to make a visit to my website, joyfulabiding.com. Again, it is www.joyfulabiding.com. Thank you for listening to my radio broadcast today. Please tune in again next week at the same time over this same station. I am Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until then.